Today, the bulls are running again, for now. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance and Analytics Wellness Post covering finance and property news. And this is our weekly market update where we start in the US, go across to Europe and Asia, and end in Australia, and also cover commodities and crypto. And it touches more on macro than on technical analysis. After recent wobbles on concerns of higher rates for longer, the bulls have been stomping through the markets this week. Data dependency is a marvelous thing because each shiny new data point has the potential to swing the market violently. Some might well be detecting signs of weakness, though, below the surface, suggesting further reversals ahead. The blue chip Dow Jones Industrial Average passed the 40,000 level for the first time earlier in the week, and records were also set for major indices in Europe and Asia, as investors took advantage of expectations of low interest rates globally. These markets have remained relatively resilient even as US macro data have shown signs of softening, with PMI and ISM surveys declining in April, labour market data worsening, consumer confidence dropping, and the housing market deteriorating again. The US producer price index increased 0.5% in April, impressively higher than the expected 0.3%. The annual rate of increase was 2.2%, the highest in 12 months, reversing a rise since last November. The import price index released on Thursday did little to ease inflationary pressures either. It added 0.9% last month and 2.8% for the four-month cumulative. Both figures are shaping upward inflation risks for the coming months as sellers pass on increased production and import costs to consumers. And by the way, the latest round of tariff hikes on several imported goods from China will raise inflation risks further too. But then the April CPI reading of 0.3% battered the dollar and increased expectations that the Federal Reserve could begin trimming rates as soon as September. But this notion was somewhat offset by a string of Fed officials warning that the central bank needed more convincing that inflation was coming down before it would begin trimming rates. Monetary policy is restrictive and is in a good place, Federal Reserve Bank of New York President John Williams said. I don't see any indicators now telling me there's a reason to change the stance of monetary policy. The S&P 500 eked out a modest gain in the final session of a rather positive week as it extended its fast start to the month of May, and the Nasdaq Composite slid while the volatility or VIX index slid below 12 for the first time since 2019. A stronger than expected earnings season also helped propel stocks higher, with 77% of companies beating estimates compared with 67% historically. Now it's worth noting that Dow components are weighted in the index by their share prices, while S&P 500 stocks are weighted largely by their market value. The relatively infrequent changes to the Dow means it can sometimes be slower to include some of the hottest companies. The most recent 40,000 milestone comes a little more than 3 years after the index hit 30,000 points, a period marked by big swings as investors grappled with the aftermath of the COVID-19 pandemic and the liquidity injections, the following surge in inflation, and then the interest rate increases by the Fed and other central banks to try and combat rising consumer prices. The Dow's journey from 30,000 to 40,000 points has been marked by a wide gap between the index's best and worst performing stocks. Top performers include American Express, Caterpillar, and Microsoft, whose shares have all roughly doubled in value since November 2020. The US dollar is also not giving up without a fight this week, gaining for a second day in a row against a basket of major currencies. Buyers seized the initiative after a dollar touched the lower bound of its uptrend, which coincided with the 200-day moving average. The bond yields also continue to ease, with a 2-year of 4.827 and the 10-year of 4.424. Now, there were some standouts in commodities this week, with copper surging to a near record in London, with copper contracts on the London Metal Exchange up as much as 2.8% on Friday, and within striking distance of an all-time high set in March 2022. Copper prices have already hit records in New York and Shanghai this week, as the global market reels from a short squeeze centred on the COMEX exchange. In the note, TD Securities said base metals were taking kindly to China's strong attempts to boost the property market. Some of the forceful measures by the Middle Kingdom, including scrapping the minimum mortgage rate floors, lowering loan rates, and cutting down payment ratios, are all helping. However, investors' focus was also on the new housing model announced at the Politburo meeting 2 weeks ago, which was essentially pivoting towards destocking unsold property. Spot silver surpassed $30 an ounce to hit the highest level in more than a decade in a rally that has become more forceful and fast than gold's gains amid robust financial and industrial demand. The precious metal rose as much as 6.35% to $31.71 an ounce. That's the highest intraday level since February 2013. Silver has soared 30% this year, outpacing gold and making it one of the year's best performing major commodities. Gold advanced also this week to $2,419.65 as the Swiss group Julius Baer changed its outlook on commodities to constructive. The group now believes that both gold and silver have the potential for further increases. The group mentions that in addition to US monetary policy, the gold market is still dominated by Asia. We have to recognize that the region's willingness to pay for gold as a hedge against economic and geopolitical risks remains even greater than we expected, they said. And weaker than expected US economic data has revived hopes for interest rate cuts by the Federal Reserve, boosting gold and silver prices. This could be the missing incentive for safe haven seekers in the Western world to return to the markets as well, they said. Central banks have been buying gold more for geopolitical reasons than economic ones, according to Julius Baer. In China, for example, there is a desire to reduce your dependence on the US dollar, important for avoiding potential sanctions. The People's Bank of China is believed to be responsible for at least 30% to 50% of all central bank purchases over the past 2 years. Although it shows signs of being price sensitive, its willingness to pay has increased as gold prices rise, they noted. And it's expected that other monetary authorities will follow the same steps, moving away from the US dollar. Oil prices settled higher on Friday, wrapping up the week with a win, as signs of slowing US inflation did boost rate hope cuts, just as China rolled out more stimulus, giving a big boost to hopes for firmer demand. Brent futures rose 0.88% to $83.96 a barrel, and West Texas Intermediate crude gained 0.97% to $79.98 a barrel. Both contracts ended the week with gains of around 1%, with the bulk of gains coming after the US consumer inflation readings came in softer than expected. A bigger than expected draw in US inventories pushed up optimism over improved demand as a travel-heavy summer season approaches, but it was offset by the International Energy Agency slightly trimming its annual demand forecast, citing uncertainty over the global economy amid sticky inflation and potentially higher-for-longer rates. On the other hand, OPEC maintained its demand forecast for 2024, citing an eventual economic recovery in China and potentially lower interest rates later in the year. So, well, I guess the big question is, well, what's ahead? With US economic data starting to cool, Bank of America Securities predicts more difficult times ahead, especially in Europe. The historical playbook suggests US macro weakness has further to go, BOA analysts said, adding that the most reliable historical indicators of impending US macro weakness are all in place: tight monetary policy, low levels of spare capacity with an unemployment rate below 4%, and an inverted yield curve. The typical transmission lags suggest that the headwind from monetary tightening is set to intensify until late in the third quarter or early in the fourth, they said. So the bank remains negative on European equities, seeing 15% predicted downside to the benchmark Stoxx 600 index by the first quarter of 2025, as well as cyclicals versus defensives. It also downgraded the mining sector to market weight from overweight and lifted luxury goods, software and small versus large caps to overweight from market weight. Elsewhere, Deutsche Bank strategies increased their end-year target for the S&P 500 to 5,500, up from the previous 5,100. The revision is based on a strong earnings cycle and the anticipation that market confidence will grow by the end of the year, which should positively influence US stocks. We see the earnings cycle having plenty of legs, strategists said in a note to clients on Friday. However, the strategists also cautioned about potential market volatility due to geopolitical risks. Moreover, they warned that a hung election poses a real risk for markets. Morgan Stanley said they expect a soft landing for the US economy, although they've lowered the probability to 50% from the previous 80%. Meanwhile, the Wall Street giant has raised its real gross domestic product forecast by 50%, expecting a 2.3% growth in 2024 and 2.1% in 2025. And they project 3 rate cuts in 2024, compared with the consensus expectation of 2, with the first anticipated in September. However, the firm's economists believe the cyclical terminal rate will be 3.625% by the end of 2025, saying the economy is now entering a new secular rates regime driven by structural changes and higher debts and deficits. In other words, higher rates have become the mainstream. For the equity markets, Morgan Stanley says valuations appear rich, trading at over 21.8 times forward earnings for the fourth quarter 2024, and with an equity risk premium of just 41 basis points, levels reminiscent of the end of 1998 before the tech wreck. And finally, Piper Sandler analysts said on Thursday that they expect the Federal Reserve to reduce interest rates 3 times over the next 8 meetings. The investment firm notes that the probability of extreme outcomes, such as significant hikes or deep cuts, have diminished since the last Federal Open Market Committee meeting. Despite moderated inflation uncertainty, the wide distribution of gross domestic product growth forecasts keeps the economy outlook unclear, they said. European stock markets retreated marginally on Friday amid uncertainty over future interest rate moves. The DAX index in Germany traded 0.17% lower. The CAC 40 in France slipped 0.26%, while the FTSE in London dropped 0.22%, breaking a 9-day winning streak. The final euro area annual inflation data came out on Friday. The rate was 2.4% in April 2024, which was stable compared to March 2024. A year earlier, the rate was 7%. In the EU, the annual inflation was 2.6% in April 2024, stable compared to March 2024. A year earlier, the rate was 8.1%. These figures were published by Eurostat, the statistical office of the European Union. The lowest annual rates were registered in Lithuania, Denmark, and Finland, and their highest annual rates were recorded in Romania, Belgium, and Croatia. Compared to March 2024, annual inflation fell in 15 member states, remained stable in 4, and rose in 8. The ECB is widely expected to cut interest rates in June, but traders remain unsure of how many more cuts, if any, the central bank will agree to over the course of the rest of the year. ECB board member Isabel Schnabel said that the central bank may lower rates in June, but should be cautious about further cuts in borrowing costs given uncertainty over the outlook. One analyst commented, while ECB rhetoric suggests a June rate cut seems all but certain, we believe the market may be underpricing the risk that the door will be left open to a follow-up cut in July. Asian markets were also weaker on Friday, with MSCI's broadest index of Asia-Pacific shares outside Japan down 0.14% after touching a 2-year high on Thursday. The index was still up 2.6% across the week for its fourth straight week of gains. Japan's Nikkei fell 0.4%, while the yen weakened 0.18% to 155.65 per dollar. Pressure on Japan to prop up a weak yen may have ebbed, but currency weakness remains a headache for Tokyo. The yen is down 9.4% against the dollar so far this year and looks set for a fourth year of declines. That's created a two-speed economy, with exports and tourism benefiting from a more competitive exchange rate, while households and small businesses are squeezed by rising import prices. Japan's huge public debt pile at 263% of GDP could also be a problem, but the Bank of Japan holds about half of that, so the situation might be more nuanced than it looks. After the Bank of Japan in March delivered its first rate hike in 17 years, it's thought to have intervened twice on April the 29th and May the 1st to try and stabilise a yen that had slumped to a 34-year low, around 160 per dollar. And the yen has weakened sharply for clear reasons. Real interest rates are much higher outside Japan. China stocks went higher, with the blue chip CSI 300 gaining 1.03% and Hong Kong's Hang Seng rose 0.91%, touching its highest since August 2023. Chinese industrial production grew more than expected in April, indicating the recovery in the country's massive manufacturing sector remained on track amid increased government support. But signs of weak consumption in the country persists, as growth in retail sales largely missed expectations in April. Industrial production grew 6.7% year-on-year in April, according to data from the National Bureau of Statistics. The reading was much higher than expected and accelerated from 4.5% seen in March. The stronger production readings came amid persistent support for the manufacturing sector from Beijing, as the government keeps up its pace of monetary stimulus and has also loosened more restrictions on key sectors such as housing. But this stimulus did not spill over into consumer spending, which remained weak despite increased liquidity. Retail sales grew 2.3% year over year in April, much lower than the expectations, around 3.7%, and also slowed from the 3.1% rise in March. Softening economic conditions over the past year saw Chinese consumers scale back heavily on discretionary spending. Now, this in turn has put China into a sustained deflationary trend, one which the country is still struggling to break free from. Personal consumption is one of the biggest drivers of the Chinese economy, with a sustained decline in retail spending presenting a weak outlook for the country. Chinese house prices shrank at an accelerated pace in April as a crisis in the property market deepened, but China's unemployment rate unexpectedly recovered to 5% from 5.2% seen in March. China said it will begin a massive $1 trillion bond issuance this week, Beijing's first major act of fiscal stimulus as it struggles to shore up a sluggish economic recovery. And China also removed the floor on mortgage rates and lowered the minimum down payment ratios for individual home buyers in its most drastic move to shore up the beleaguered property market. People's Bank of China lowered the minimum down payment ratio for first-time buyers to 15% and cut it to 25% for second homes. Spiraling declines in property prices are adding to the urgency, because official data on Friday showed that home prices in April recorded the steepest month-on-month drop in a decade. New home values slid 0.58% from March, while existing home prices plunged 0.94% from a year earlier. Prices of new and used properties also fell. And shares of Chinese property developers fell on Tuesday after another developer said it had missed an interest payment and warned that it may not be able to meet all offshore debt obligations. Agile Group Holdings sank as much as 15% in Hong Kong trade after it said a grace period for interest payments on a $483 million senior note had expired without being met on Monday. Agile's announcement saw the firm join a growing list of Chinese real estate firms that have struggled to meet their debt obligations amid a prolonged downturn in the property market. High-profile casualties of this downturn included China Evergrande Group and Country Garden Holdings Company Limited, both of which are negotiating with their creditors over a debt restructuring plan. Elsewhere, the Kospi was down 1.03%, while the Indian Nifty 50 rose 0.16%. Australian shares fell on Friday but rose 0.8% across the week that saw traders lift bets on the Reserve Bank cutting interest rates in 2024. On the day, the ASX 200 dropped 0.85% to 7,814 points, as falls in the healthcare and technology sectors, both down more than 2%, offset gains for lithium and iron ore miners. The mining sector added 0.4% after iron ore futures for delivery in June rallied 1.4% in Singapore above $118 a ton on optimism that China is taking more policy steps to support its ailing property market. BHP added 0.9% to $44.89, and Rio Tinto gained 1.35% to $132.15. Lithium miner Pilbara Minerals climbed 2.2% to $4.10, with mineral resources edging up 0.8% to $78.61. In company news, regional lender Bendigo Bank said its cash profit for the 10 months to April the 30th fell 2.3% to $464 million. The stock added 8.17% to $10.73 as traders cheered signs that its profit margins rose. Elsewhere, the suspension of Star Entertainment's Queensland casino licenses was lengthened until December 2024, sending the shares down 2.2% to 45 cents. And computer hardware distributor Dicker Data plunged 13.2% to $9.25 after its March quarter trading update disappointed investors. So the bulls of the ASX are running again this week in a classic bad news is good news rally. Lingering concerns that sticky inflation could force the Federal Reserve or the Reserve Bank to raise rates have suddenly extinguished. For all that worry about higher for longer rates exposing cracks in the local economy, the weakening consumer spending we're seeing, the rising corporate insolvencies, weakening consumer and business sentiment, ASX 200 has quietly added 4% within 2 weeks and is now at 3.3% this year, and since October 2022 it's gained 22%. Never mind that valuations look stretched and equity risk premiums on both sides of the Pacific, that's the difference between equities market value yield and the 10-year bond yield, are almost non-existent. Local investors continue to plough into their market darlings in the firm belief that rate cuts are coming. Thursday delivered a perfect illustration of this as Commonwealth Bank, Goodman Group and WiseTech all hit record highs. The rally in CBA shares since November have been staggering actually, with the already richly valued stock rising 26%. Despite every banking analyst in the country arguing that the entire sector is overvalued, investors continue to bet that falling rates will flow through to lower bad debts and better credit growth. CBA's dividend yield is now just 3.7% on a net basis. In fact, you can do better with a savings account. Goodman Group, which jumped 4% on Thursday, is now up almost 70% in 7.5 months, as investors bet that its pivot data centers will usher in a new decade of growth. This is a very well-run company with bright prospects in arguably the hottest sector in the world, and investors can't get enough. And elsewhere, WiseTech has also enjoyed a similarly spectacular rise, jumping 75% since November. Its shares breached the psychologically important $100 barrier for the first time on Thursday, closing up 4.4% to $101.75. Now, there is no shortage of risk that investors seem willing to overlook at present, not least of which is the fact that the higher for longer interest rate threat is far from over. Thursday's employment data was a reminder that Australia's job numbers have become noisier than the Collingwood cheer squad in the last 5 minutes of a grand final. While there were some signs that the hours worked has started to drift lower, a decent chunk of the rise in the unemployment rate from 3.9% to 4.1% was explained by people who have new jobs but are yet to start in them. As RBC Capital Markets Chief Economist Su Lin Ong says, the RBA will want several months of clean data before contemplating a rate cut. Finally, as Bitcoin's value hovers above 66,000 US, a noteworthy tweet from MicroStrategy chairman Michael Saylor, a prominent figure in the cryptocurrency industry, sparked interest. His tweet, "Get the message," comes at a time when the market is observing Bitcoin's performance with keen interest. Bitcoin's price above 66,000 US is more than simply a number. It is a psychologically important threshold for the market, signaling possibly stability after periods of volatility. According to Into the Block, Bitcoin, the first and largest cryptocurrency by market cap, overcame massive on-chain resistance levels with its move past 66,000. The lack of selling during the recent move up might also suggest that the market has become more confident in Bitcoin. Bitcoin, of course, skyrocketed when the ETS went live in January, reaching a high of over 74,000 in March, before falling as demand for the investment vehicle waned. At the time of writing, Bitcoin was up 1.35% to $67,152 and is up over 8% over the past 7 days. In fact, Bitcoin has increased by around 58% this year compared to an 11% increase in the NASDAQ 100. But don't get too excited because, of course, the volatility is very high. Standing back, if you look more carefully at what's going on, whilst the bulls are in charge at the moment, that may well change again. Every bit of data will potentially create a new wave of fear or enthusiasm. And this will continue for some time until, of course, central banks make a decision. But I don't think they will for some time yet. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.